Welcome to Catholic Spear. Each week we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe with a different host and a different focus. I'm your host this week, Jack Williams, and this week we're talking about redemptive journalism. Today I'm joined by Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, heard on EWTN Radio. She joins us from Michigan. Anna Mitchell is the co-host and producer of the Sunrise Morning Show, and she's with us today from Ohio. And we also have with us Jeanette DeMello, Executive Director of the National Catholic Register and Catholic News Agency. She joins us from Louisiana. So, Teresa, how does a newly minted journalist from the campus of Central Michigan University find herself to TV news in Detroit and later to Catholic journalism as you find yourself today?
Well, only by the grace of God. I mean, seriously, it's interesting. If you would have told me, 30, 40 years ago that I would be working in Catholic radio and TV, thanks be to God, covering the March for Life for EWTN and doing the Daily Show with news in it every day and doing many interviews, I would have told you, I don't know what you're drinking, but I sure want some of it. That was not my plan. But what I found when I graduated was the more that I got into journalism, and again, with my degree and thinking, I'm just going to go straight ahead, hold no, record of holding prisoners, we're going to move forward. The business started to change, and it wasn't about what I learned in journalism school, and it broke my heart. And at the same time, I was gradually coming back to the church. So my reversion happened while I still worked in the secular media, and I just didn't feel like I fit in anymore. I felt like I was a square peg trying to fit into a round hole. And so I walked away. I literally quit. I quit a six-figure plus income job in the year 2000, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord, but I can't do this anymore. And eventually, he led me into Catholic radio and then Catholic TV here with my role with EWTN and Ave Maria. But it was a very unique path that I never expected to take.
Now, Anna, you didn't actually really spend a lot of time in secular media on your journey.
No, I did not. I was almost right out of college when I started in Catholic media, and I had kind of an interesting path because I wanted to be an NPR journalist, actually. Worked for a local NPR affiliate when I was in college at Ohio University. And when I decided I wanted to get into radio, I wanted to host All Things Considered on NPR. And I was just unable to find a job for the first year out of college, really. I had a part-time job as a reporting on traffic in the Cincinnati area. And it was actually because I was involved in a Catholic young adult group that I have the job that I do. I was trying to get an interview on the Sunrise Morning Show about an event that my young adult group was doing. And that's how I came in contact with Matt Swaim, who is now my co-host of the Sunrise Morning Show. And in the same way as Teresa, though, by the grace of God, I'm here.
I didn't realize there was such a thing as a part-time traffic reporter in Cincinnati.
I worked a split shift, Jack. I worked 6 to 9 in the morning and then 3 to 6 in the afternoon. It was awful.
So, Jeanette, you started out your career sort of on the other end of the journalistic spectrum.
That's right. But I do want to start. I told my college professor, my advisor, I'd like to be a writer. And he said, are you independently wealthy? And so that was kind of my first inclination that I wanted to do something journalistic. But I did study institutional communications at a Catholic pontifical school in Rome. And I spent about 10 years working for two different dioceses in institutional communications, a communications director. And now it's been a decade, though, as executive director and now executive director and editor-in-chief of the Register and CNA. So it's been a very different journey than the other two here, but I'm blessed to be where I am.
The show is about redemptive journalism. That's how we've titled these episodes. And we all have a responsibility by virtue of our baptism to be evangelists. And I'm guessing that there are any number of ways, if you take your faith seriously, that you can help to be an evangelist in our culture by doing the work of a journalist, huh? Would you say so, Anna?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to report on what's happening in the church is such a privilege for one thing, but such a responsibility at the same time. I mean, we are the what we are doing is putting the church out there as journalists and allowing people to see the church for what she is. And so, yeah, I mean, to report on the church is to be an evangelist, whether it's a good story, a controversial story, a heartwarming story, whatever it is. People are forming opinions about the Catholic Church by what we're doing.
Jeanette, do you see yourself and your team as a group of evangelists?
Absolutely. You know, if you think of the term that you've used, redemptive journalism, our redemption came by the way of the cross, right? The cross and then the resurrection. And so journalism has that harder edge to it sometimes, where we have to report on very difficult things. We have to report on controversy. We have to report on sad realities. But you also have to realize that through that comes hope, because through that is truth. We are shedding light on the truth. And from that whole process, hopefully, you can give people the full insight to see that there is a way out of this very problematic situation, or these are the good news. This is the good news. That's the bad news, but this is the good news on the other hand. And so we really do aim to make sure that it's not all a damper, you know, kind of journalism, but that we are showing the vocations in the church, for example. So, yes, absolutely. My entire team thinks of themselves as doing an evangelical kind of work.
You know, Teresa, I'm sure that you take the approach that you have to be a person of prayer to engage in this kind of activity, but you also probably have to check yourself every once in a while to make sure that you realize that people that you may be covering or stories that you may be covering that are coming from a viewpoint that are hostile to the church, you got to remember that these people need to hear the good news also, huh?
That's absolutely true. And I think what's so unique about the role, for example, for me and Annie being also a news person where she does news on the Sunrise Morning Show as I do, and then also a co-host, I'm hosting Catholic Connection, but also doing the news. So I think there's a dual responsibility. And Annie mentioned earlier in the previous program regarding the fact that the way we evangelize is with the stories that we do. And I think we do that within the newscast and within the interviews and the way we cover it. And I'm always trying to think, okay, where was I, you know, 30, 35 years ago when I was coming at of the world from a very secular perspective, even though I still identified as a Catholic. We never know who is going to be maybe going online to CNA or the Register or hitting the scan button and hearing Annie in the morning on Sunrise or me on Catholic Connection. How are we coming across? Are we being open? We put the truth out there, but we do it in a very loving and a balanced way. And I think it's so, so important to remember always walk in someone else's shoes and try. And I think Annie mentioned this as well earlier, that it's really important that everyone that is there out there in our audience, whether they be listening either online or on the air, they may not be as well informed in the Catholic faith as we are or other people are. And to keep them in mind, really, really important. And just saying, hey, this is what's going on in the church. This is what the church is about. This is what we do. That's evangelization, both in the interviews and the way we write the stories and deliver them.
You know, Jeanette, part of what you have to do at the Register and with Catholic News Agency is you have to report on events that are maybe hosted or events that involve people that have a distinct bias against faith and against the church, faith in general and the church in particular. And that bias can lead just sometimes to just downright misinformation. How do you work with your team to vet the information that they're getting as they're chasing down these stories?
Absolutely. I think we have to do that all the time. I mean, you have to know who your sources are and then check up against many other sources to make sure we're getting the full information. You know, I can think of a story we reported on last year about what is often called gender-affirming care. And what was happening was, in the United States, we're passing laws that are allowing this gender-affirming care, but in Europe, they're actually repealing it. They're going back and examining the kind of treatment they were providing for those who wanted transgender surgeries, especially for children, and saying, wait a minute, we've been doing this for 20 years now in places like Sweden, France, or England. And they're saying, we're seeing very negative results of this. That information doesn't always get out.
And Teresa, you know as well as anyone that words matter and that language is important. And the words we choose and the language that we choose can diffuse a situation or they can escalate a situation.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think the phrase gender affirming care is an example. This is a phrase that the media and people who support transitional, you know, so they call it transitional surgery, so the mutilation of the body, right? And that's another thing that they've flowered with the language, right? Flowered it up a little bit. It's really important to dissect that for people. Just like, for example, with the life issues, they will call us anti-choice, or you know, they won't call us pro-life because that's too positive. So when you're breaking down a story, and I often do this after my newscast, I'll say, okay, let's look at this particular story and the words they use. And even now in the AP style guide, they are told to refer to pregnancy resource centers as anti-abortion centers because pregnancy resource is positive. It's a resource. It's helpful, right? It's something good. Anti-abortion is bad because we want choice and we want abortion. So they throw out these phrases that are fed to them by these certain advocacy groups, whether it be behind abortion or the whole gender ideology. And this becomes a part of our daily language in the media, in sitcoms, in print, everywhere we see it, that becomes part of our language, the semantics, and they're starting to form the way we think. So it's really important. So I try to break down that type of a discernment for people. Every week on my radio show, I do something called Fact Check Friday and try to break it down for people. But language is huge. It's a great question.
So Anna, building on what Teresa just said, how much time and effort do you and Paul and the team at the Sunrise Morning Show take in the wording of the stories that you report on?
Oh my gosh, Jack, Matt Swaim and I joke all the time about how much time I have to take in rewriting stories that come from the newswire that I use, that Teresa also uses, because of what Teresa was just talking about, where you have these euphemisms for things that are really, really awful. When it comes to the dignity of the human person, one of the biggest things that I try to focus on as a journalist and especially as a Catholic journalist is the dignity of the human person and being able to use language. One of my my absolute favorite class in college was in my first quarter as a freshman called Precision Language. And your language must be precise. And you have to tell things like they are. And so when it comes to something like, quote unquote, gender affirming care, telling people what that actually means, because you hear it and it sounds great, but when you actually find out what it is, you're horrified, quite honestly. And so, yeah, the language, the wording of things is such a huge, I mean, I spend so much time rewriting some of these stories that come across my newswire to really be able to educate my listeners, particularly about what it is that we're actually talking about.
And, you know, Holy Mother Church has a little something to say just about everything that we're going to face in life. And I know, Teresa, that the cover that the church provides for us is important to you. And I know that the Catechism speaks to the way that we should conduct ourselves with regard to social communication. And that's something that's kind of near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, it's so funny because, you know, when I was in secular journalism before I came back from the church, I mean, I looked to the church, I kind of identified as a Catholic, and I wasn't going to church anymore at the time. But once in a while, I'd see John Paul II, or I actually got to cover him several times when I was in the secular media. And then I was all gung-ho. I was, you know, about covering John Paul II, and I was Catholic, but I never bothered to study what he said, for example, about the media. And if you look at, for example, his document, Rapid Development, or if you look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church, if you look at the World Communications Day statements, which I love, that come out every year and are just so wonderful in terms of little nuggets on how the media should be used. And the church is always about balance. The church doesn't tell us to throw the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to media. The church talks to us about using the media wisely. In the Catechism, there's several paragraphs, sections about using the media wisely. And I think it's clear enough that it should be hanging in every newsroom because it talks about the fact that the public deserves the truth. They deserve the information, the reality of the situation. I'm paraphrasing because I don't have those paragraphs in front of me. But it doesn't even mention God per se in that section. But it's so clear in terms of what we're supposed to be doing as journalists that it could be hanging in any newsroom. But the World Communications Day statements, different documents from various popes, Inter Mirifica from Vatican II, amazing, amazing, beautiful writings on how the media can make a difference when they're used wisely and well.
Anna, what does the teaching and the suggestions of Holy Mother Church, what does that mean to you as you do your job day in and day out?
Well, it means that I operate in service of the truth. And every journalist is supposed to operate in service of the truth. And I think I said this in our last program as well, but it's something that I ponder a lot as somebody in Catholic media, is that as Catholics, we receive the truth. And so as journalists, we should be receiving the truth as well, and then being able to translate it, I guess you could say, for lack of a better word, translate it to those who depend on us to be able to disseminate the truth out there. And we all have, well, of course, we have the common good, right? The church talks about the common good all the time and upholds the common good and the dignity of the human person and upholding the family as the basic unit of society. We have these fundamental truths as Catholics, and we have this deep, deep human anthropology in the Catholic Church that we can draw from and bring people to that light and bring people to the truth that is our Lord ultimately. And so when we're talking about bringing this to our listeners, it's so important to remember all of those things, what Teresa was talking about, reading all of the documents on social communication that the church has to have, that the church has put out there for us, to remind us that this is what our primary purpose is as journalists.
And Jeanette, I'm sure as someone who is responsible for an entire team of people, the wisdom and cover provided by Holy Mother Church has got to be an invaluable resource to you.
Absolutely. I mean, for one, prayer first in all that we do is, I think, very crucial. But also, I'd go back to Inter Mirifica, which that Teresa mentioned. This is the 1963 document from Vatican II. And in that document, it talks about journalists bringing a Christian spirit, imbuing a Christian spirit into their work, and remembering the souls of people as we do this kind of work, and to really do no spiritual harm to people by what we do. So every time we're covering a story, we really do need to think about the people involved in that story, and what's going to happen. What's the harm that can be done as we tell this story? Obviously, there are times you have to tell very negative stories, but you really have to be careful in the way you do it, so that you aren't causing a spiritual harm, both for your readers and for the people involved in that story, but us journalists as well. We have to be careful what our motivation is too in this work.
And you know, Anna, when you look at the way stories are covered today, journalism in general, especially social media, I mean, it gets really nasty really fast, and the ad hominem attacks are always right around the corner. And I know that one thing that's very near and dear to your heart and is very important to you in the work that you do is to maintain proper focus on the dignity of every human.
Of every human, no matter what their perspective is on any given issue, we must remember that these are human beings made in the image and after the likeness of God. And we cannot forget that as journalists, and we cannot fall into the trap of constantly trying to tear people down, which is what happens so frequently, as you were just mentioning, Jack, on social media particularly, but also just in the secular news media in general. You see this all the time. There's a lot of tearing down, but not a lot of building up. And I think that's one advantage that we have as Catholic journalists, as I was saying, you know, drawing from our Catholic anthropology, is that even when we're reporting on a negative story, I think of, like, when you're talking about literature, for instance, and I know this sounds like this is coming out of left field, but stick with me here. So I think about somebody like Flannery O'Connor, who told these horrifying stories, and yet she's so revered as a Catholic writer. Why is that? Because we can recognize the good by seeing its absence, But we also have to recognize that there is good out there. And we need to make sure that even when we are covering negative stories, that people know what the ideal is, what the good is, and how it's not, how this, whatever negative story it happens to be, you know, the abuse crisis, or, you know, I don't know, this or that scandal, that there is an ideal, there is a good that is not being reached in this particular situation. And that's how we can really build up the body of Christ in covering even negative stories.
Jeanette, do you find that you have the ability by viewing, as Annie's talking about, the personal human dignity of each person and keeping that in mind, that you have the ability to maybe dial down the temperature of hot button stories?
I think so, especially at the Register, where we are able to do analysis more sometimes than just reporting the situation, you know, from just the bare facts. I think at the Register, we have the opportunity to kind of tell a story, to take a step back, to wait for that initial news that CNA might cover, Catholic News Agency might cover, but then take a step back and say, what is all that is at play here? How do various people feel about it? And can we explain this better, deeper than just the bare facts might say?
Teresa, how much time did your editors in the secular media invest in reminding you about the dignity of the human person?
Zip, zero, nada, niente, unfortunately. I don't even think they were familiar with that term. I think in the early days of my career, I had some really good news directors who talked to us about being treating people decently and kindly when we were to go to cover a story. But that even would kind of faded away toward the end of my career. It was just go, 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 get the story done, get it back, crank it out. I mean, it was like being on an assembly line after a while. So that understanding of the dignity of the human person, they were more seen as objects, unfortunately, especially when we were covering crime stories, which happened all too often. Again, toward the end of my career, I felt like I was an ambulance chaser going from one murder to one fire, to one tragedy to another. But when I came back to the faith, before I left the secular media, I did try to infuse that, not on the air because I couldn't, but in the way I treated people, getting back to what Annie and Jeanette were saying and what you brought up, Jack, is a way to treat people when you're covering a really horrible story. Instead of saying to someone, how do you feel about, God forbid, your child getting killed in a car accident, I would say, this is really hard for me to be here as a reporter, but this is your chance, if you're up to it, to tell the world about your son, tell the world about your daughter, share something about your husband that you want them to know. And so respecting them in terms of the pain they were going through, but then giving them the chance to tell the world about the person that was involved in this very difficult situation. But the term, the dignity of the human person, I probably wasn't even familiar with it until, well, after I came back to the church. But I think there is a way to do even negative stories in a very Christ-like manner. We have to, because we have to care about how those stories affect people, as Jeanette mentioned earlier.
Jeanette, do you make a conscious effort with your team to help them remember to bring the people that are consuming your product the hope of the gospel?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, one question we always have to ask ourselves is, why are we doing this story? You know, I mean, certain stories, like if you put exorcism in the headline, you know, a whole bunch of people are going to read it. If you put atheist, for example, in the headline, a whole bunch of people are going to read those types of stories. But sometimes I have to ask them, are we doing this just to kind of get clicks? Or are we doing this in such a way that we're actually bringing people in to read a story and to learn something, to gather something, to be informed, to be enlightened? And so, yes, I mean, there are times where we don't cover a story. It might be a juicy kind of story, but is there something we can offer that's different from what is already out there being said? And if we can't find that angle, we're not going to jump on it just to get clicks. We have to be very careful not to just play the game of business, of getting the clicks so that, you know, we've got more traffic to our site.
Teresa, is hope important?
I think hope is very important, and especially when we do a daily talk show, as Annie and I do, because people tend to listen on a regular basis. And we also have to make sure that we're keeping things in balance. And this is why I refer to Catholic News Agency and the Register all the time. When I'm taking those stories in the wire service and I see a story about the Catholic Church, I know Annie does the same thing, I'll immediately go to CNA and the Register to see how they covered the story, because I know I'm going to get a balanced perspective. But what I love about what we do with all of our outlets, I really think we provide hope. I don't think we stick our head in the sand and don't provide stories on things that maybe are not exactly fun to read or fun to hear. But I think what we remind people of is, okay, there's a big picture out there. There's a big perspective. The church is over 2,000 years old. This is not our first rodeo. It's not to say that it's no big deal, whatever crisis we may be going through, but it's to remember that there is always hope. Because if we don't have hope, then we're just ignoring what Jesus told us in Matthew 16. Now, you are Peter, and on this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In every time and every age, people are asked to rise up to the challenges. And we have such an opportunity right now, especially on EW10 and all of our outlets, radio, TV, print, online, to show people the beauty of the faith. Our coverage, of course, earlier this year with World Youth Day was phenomenal. But so many beautiful stories about people in parishes and communities making a difference. And this is where we're going to win hearts and win people back for Christ and bring them into the church, is by the joy of the gospel. And we can do it in so many ways through the media that we have.
Anna, do you and Matt talk about bringing your listeners hope?
Oh my gosh, yes. And we are constantly talking back and forth. I mean, it's so nice for me in particular to have somebody like Matt Swaim to bounce ideas off of and to make sure that I'm not going crazy and he makes sure that he's not going crazy and that we're on the same page here, because that is something that we're constantly looking at. Matt in particular is so good at following all of the controversies on Twitter and kind of being able to weed through, like, okay, what is worth talking about? What is actually going to build up the kingdom of Christ here on earth? And what do we need to just ignore? Because it's not building up anything. It's just tearing stuff down. We've gotta move away from getting down in the mud so much, unless it is to pull someone out of the mud.
And Jeanette, I'll give you the final word. What one thing would you like to see people focus on that might be able to kind of turn the journalistic tide, as it were?
Ooh, very interesting. Not just getting clicks. Like, finding these very interesting stories, novel stories. I mean, I wish I would see secular journalists, for example, cover those people who do enter religious life these days. Like, that is just something completely new. And don't get me wrong, sometimes they do. But there's a lot of stuff that defies kind of the contemporary world within the church that I think deserves to be reported, not because it's fringe, but because very it's good. Real people doing good things.
Awesome. Thank you again, Teresa, Anna, and Jeanette. And thank you for joining us. Don't forget to tune in next week here on the Catholic Sphere with host Doug Keck.